Good morning, everyone. Hearty welcome. And all those who have tuned in via live stream this morning. As things are somewhat different again, and we have gathered to fellowship together. Fellowship together, not only in person, but in spirit. In love and in grace. And I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ with a message of hope, grace, and peace be with you. Amen. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Before we move on, let us just bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, we enter into the throne room of heaven with gratitude, having that peace in our heart that you are our light, our salvation, and that we do not need to fear, regardless what we face. Regardless where we find ourselves, and that we do not need to be afraid of what is to come. But Father, we thank you that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, who has promised to be with us to the very end. And this morning, as we have gathered, maybe not as much in person, but in spirit, pray, Lord, for your leading. May you speak to us through your word. May we be encouraged in a time when it seems that life is so bleak and we grapple with some of the things that are happening. Father, may your word comfort us this morning and help us, Lord, to draw closer to you in this wonderful time of grace that you extended to us. And Father, this morning we also pray for those who cannot be here, all our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Father, we pray that they may just sense your presence in a special way wherever they may find themselves listening to this message. Father, may you comfort them. May you strengthen them. May you give them courage. Help them, Lord, to be courageous in the difficult time. And Father, this morning, we also bring those before you who have lost loved ones, and we know there are many. And even in our congregation, Lord, the Martins family, bring them before your throne of grace, that they too might find just a glimmer of hope in which seems to be such a dark time. Father, we pray for those who have no desire to yield to your leading. Those who have put you off, turned their back on you. Father, if there was ever a time that you are speaking to us, it is today. The echo of the message of hope may touch someone's heart and draw them closer to you in time of grace. Father, we commit this morning service to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. This time we'll have a few songs, please.
I know now. Nearer, My God, to Thee, 272.
Shall be nearer, my God, to Thee. May that be our desire this morning as we look into God's Word and evaluate our own lives, just to see where we're at. As I was preparing the message this morning, I had to think, where we come from? Where are we today? Where are we going? Where are we heading? And as this song spells it out so beautifully, that is what my song is going to be. Always drawing near to God in this wonderful time of grace that He extends to us. And so the question that I want to pose this morning is this: what do we expect from life? What does all this mean? And how are all these things shaping our lives as we find ourselves adapting to new ways of doing things? Adapting to new ways of communicating, fellowship. Our nature is to find some kind of a norm. But where do we search? What's normal? Well, it would be kind of enjoy a sense of security. But where do we find it? I want to encourage us this morning, friends, that there is one greater than all of our situations, greater than all of our circumstances, and that is Jesus. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, God said, "It is time to seek the Lord." And as we listen to that song and we meditate in our heart and we sing that song, "Nearer, my God, to thee," I trust that this morning, even though many of us are at home attending this service, that we would sense that presence. The presence of God in our lives, wherever we may find ourselves. As Hosea said in chapter 10, verse 12, it is time to seek the Lord. Friends, and that is what I want to say this morning. That is our norm. That is something that we can count on. Something that won't change tomorrow or in the days ahead or in the years ahead. Because Jesus says, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." And with all of these things happening around us, and just last Sunday we were able to fellowship together in the sanctuary here, but that has changed. And we have to be careful that we don't allow our thoughts to go somewhere where we really don't want to go. And I want to just say that I don't know where you're at, but that happens. That happens to me. With a lot of these things that are going on, and there's so much untruth, and we try to grapple with what do we believe. And sometimes our thoughts even take us to an area of somewhat bitterness over this whole situation. In Psalm 43, in Psalm chapter 43, we find that is a chapter of hope. Hope in God. And we need to understand who wrote it and why he wrote it. Korah is one who wrote it. And he was the head of one of the Levite clans in the time when Moses and Aaron brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he was one that was rebellious against Moses and Aaron. And God brought judgment on this man. And in Psalm 43, we read where he says, "Judge me, O God." And I just want to pause there for a little bit. When we allow our hearts to be engaged in this, he says, "Judge me, O God." When I think about myself and some of the thoughts I've had in the last while, friends, I'm not sure that I can heartily say this, "Judge me, O God." Because there has been some thoughts that are not constructive, if you will. Some that possibly with some resentment with this whole situation. But he says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation." And friends, this morning we don't need to look very far and we see what's around us. And he says, oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. He has been there. He was part of that. He was one of those rebellious ones. And I share that this morning just to help us when we think about nearing to God, as the song that we just sang, that there wouldn't be some of these things standing in the way. That we would be able to come before Almighty God with a clean heart and a pure conscience, having received His mercy and His grace, having received forgiveness for our sins. And then in verse 2 he says, for Thou art the God of my strength. Why dost Thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And so we see that first of all, he realizes that God has delivered him. So he has been delivered, and he finds himself again being brought down. And I think we can all relate to that somewhat. Having received the gift of salvation, having received God's grace and mercy, and we face these strange times, if you will, and we somehow feel brought down. We feel cast down. And he says, why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Korah was a man that David appointed as one of those that would be part of the singing songs in the tabernacles. And he pleads with God and he says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. If ever there was a time that we need to hear what truth is, it is today. And I am not for 1 minute trying to say that all these things that befall us are from the enemy. I believe it is a time that we as a church need to look at it and ask the question, what is God trying to teach us? What is He saying to us? I believe it is a time of just judging ourselves in our relationship with Him. Where are we at? In verse 4, he goes on and he says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. He says, that is my desire. I want to praise the Lord, and I will praise the Lord. I will go to the altar of God, the God of my salvation. That's what happens when we have received the grace of God in our hearts. And we acknowledge that, and we have an attitude of gratitude because of what God did, not because of what we are able to accomplish, but that the plan of salvation is complete, and we have received that. Cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He is speaking to his own soul. Friends, this morning I want to encourage us, sometimes we just need to be still and allow God to speak, and even to speak to our own soul and remind our soul to be grateful, not to be brought down. In Psalm 62, verse 5, Here we see that David also is speaking to his own soul. He says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is of him." This morning, I asked the question, where is our expectation? Is it in our bank account? Is it in our business? Is it in the land or farms that we have? Or what do we hang on to that we are so afraid of losing? David says, "My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him." I want to encourage us this morning when we think about that. That is the only thing that doesn't change. That is the only thing that's going to be the same tomorrow and the day after and the years after. In verse 6 it says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." He said that is where my glory is. What do we glory in? Do we glory in the things that we have accomplished? Sometimes the comment is made when somebody really enjoys something that he's doing, he just glories in it. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what do I glory in? Do I glory in the Lord? Verse 8, chapter 62. "Trust in him all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." David encouraged us to pour out our heart before God. And I want to encourage us this morning that we would do that wherever we find ourselves, be it at home, be it at just by ourselves at work, traveling down the highway, just some quiet time in meditation with God. And we will find that hope. We will find that sense of security in him. In Israel, they found their hope, and we find that in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee." I take that as a promise. A promise. To have that hope that when we totally give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, total surrender, that God will keep us. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, it says this, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Diligence, when you look that up in the dictionary, talks about being careful and persistent. We know what that means, being persistent. When we have a desire to accomplish something, we need to be persistent. We don't give up. We give it all we have. And he says, "Be diligent to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but follower of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." There's some characteristic building here. Faith and patience. Verse 18 and 19, Hebrews chapter 6, "That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. It says, by two immutable things, which really means unchanging over time, regardless of circumstances. Let's try to remember that. Unchanging over time, regardless of circumstances. We might have that strong consolation. And then in verse 19 it says, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into within the veil. An anchor. Jesus Christ. There's a song writer, he penned his heart, and he put it like this, and I think I've shared this before. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That is the only thing that we can hang on to. That is the only sure thing where we can put our expectations to. And it goes on like this. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And then the second verse is as important. It goes like this. In times like these, you need a Bible. Friends, where else? Peter said, when Jesus asked his disciples, are you going to leave me? And Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Goes on to say like this. In times like these, oh, be not idle. And which reminds us that not a time to sit and be idle, but to take every opportunity to be a light, to be an encouragement. Do we have that hope that will sustain us even when our world falls apart? There is a place of refuge. I want to go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Read a few verses out of Psalm 46. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see who is writing this? This is for the sons of Korah. And he's still relating to Psalm 43. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. I want you to pay attention to what it says here now. It says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. We see that talks about a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. God's people, the church in the Old Testament, the church in the New Testament, will find that refuge if we claim the promises that God has left us. The promises that God left the children of Israel. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. He gave them promises that he would be with them at all times. And he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand and of my righteousness." My prayer, my desire is that we would experience that presence, that we would just sense God carrying us through this time. In chapter 43, verse 1 and 2, there's another promise that God left for the children of Israel. And he says, "But now this saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." We have those promises in the Old Testament, and God remained true to that. He was faithful. And friends, we can count on God to be faithful to his promises for us today. I want to close with that kind of a thought, that we would just be still and allow God to speak into our hearts, to speak comfort into our hearts, and simply place our trust and our faith in him, the one who has promised us the joy everlasting, those who remain faithful. Let us close with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, in closing this morning, we thank you for your love and your grace, your mercy. And Lord, that we can come to the well of running water, fresh water, and receive courage and comfort. Help us, Lord, never to waver. We know that you have saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We acknowledge that, Lord, and we receive that in our hearts. And yet, we realize so many times, as Korah did, he had fallen back, and he's speaking to his own soul. Help us, Lord, that we would keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, so that we don't sink in despair, in defeat, but rather that we call upon his name, come before him, before his holy altar, wherever we may find ourselves. Father, we thank you that you invite us to come, that you desire to have that fellowship with us. And we pray, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit, we can move forward, upward, heavenward, as we nearer and nearer to thee, O Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, may all honor and glory go to you. Amen. This time, we're going to close with a song.
Thank you.
Beautiful testimony. We will follow the footsteps of Jesus wherever they go. May the Lord grant us strength to be faithful to that as we draw nearer and nearer to him. Come to the close of the service, the English part of the service this morning. I heartily want to thank each one for tuning in, for those that have come to serve and worship and singing this morning. May the Lord bless you. I want to leave you with a benediction out of 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. You may now go in the presence of the Lord. Thank you.